Welcome this morning as we follow the order of service, the Divine Service 3, as printed in our bulletin. We begin our worship this morning in the Lord's house with the singing of our hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, July 27th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Ken Richard, Diane Breen, and Brian Featon. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 793, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, number 793 in the Lutheran Service Book. Keith and Tina Rose are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Margaret Conaway. Emma Lou Knauer is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God.
Rise. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and set your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit teach us how to pray that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, beginning at the 20th verse. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know.
So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, who am I but dust and ashes? Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." And then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review, in regards to Christian questions and their answers. Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe it. I am a sinner.
How do you know this?
From the 10 commandments, which I have not kept.
The epistle reading from Colossians, the 2nd chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him, who is the head and rule of all authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, Say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive anyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from him within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith as found in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If there's any children present today who'd like to come forward for a brief children's message, please do so at this time. Good morning, gentlemen. Morning. So, of you sitting up here, who's had a birthday?
Me.
You had a birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you had a birthday? You've had a both of you had a birthday? Yeah? Oh, okay. Okay. You guys celebrate Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Have Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah? You get gifts at those times? Birthday, Christmas? Yeah? Do you ever ask for gifts? Like somebody might say, what would you like for Christmas? Or what would you like for your birthday? What would you like for your birthday, right? And you tell them what you would like. Maybe Pokemon, maybe Bluey, I don't know. It's all kinds of things, right? All kinds of things. And you know how to ask for things. You know, have you ever asked for a snack? Yeah. You ask for a snack? Sure. Can I have a snack, please? All right. Okay. Well, those aren't exactly prayers, but they are asking for things. And when we pray, we do ask for things. And Jesus' disciples were saying of him, well, what should we ask for? How should we pray? And Jesus gives the answer. He gives it to us in our reading today. He says, when you pray, you ask that the Lord's name be holy. hallowed be your name. You know, that we keep God's name holy among us. We don't use it for bad things and use it as a bad word or anything like that. He says, ask God that his kingdom come. The forgiveness of sins that he brings, the life and salvation that he brings, that his kingdom would come among us. Well, he's answered that prayer with a yes for us. He gives us baptism. He gives us the sacrament of the altar. He gives us confession and absolution. All these ways in which God gives his forgiveness to us. And we respond with thanksgiving. He says, ask God for daily bread. So, you know, Jesus is saying, don't be greedy. You know, ask God to take care of you today. And so we do, and we say, give us this day our daily bread, and he gives us the things we need for our daily life. How about, like, breakfast, cereal, cupcakes? I don't know if cupcakes are for breakfast. That depends on your parents. I personally think cookies and cupcakes are just a fine breakfast, but some people don't. They say you have to have pancakes or eggs or bacon or something like that. But anyway, we ask for the food that we need today, the water we need today, the clothes we need today, all the things we need for today. And the Lord provides them for us. And we ask to be forgiven of our sins. And that's important. That's important because, you know, a sin is all those things we do that God doesn't want us to do. And sadly, everybody out there, you, me, all of us, we do those things. We get mean, we get self, you know, we think about ourselves before we think about somebody else. All those things, you know, we say, God, oh, gee, I am sorry for that. I'm sorry for not putting you first. Will you forgive me? For Jesus' sake, will you forgive me? And God says, yeah, I forgive you. And so what prayer do we call that prayer that Jesus gave us? It's called the Lord's Prayer, right? Yeah, it's the prayer he asked us to pray. It's the prayer he wanted us to pray. And it's an important prayer, and we pray it almost every day. We ask for these things that God wants to give us and wants us to have. And so that's a great blessing that we know that the Lord gives us everything that we need, and he gives us it out of his almighty hand. As a matter of fact, later on this morning, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And of course, all three of you will be joining in praying the Lord's Prayer, because that is a prayer you've learned even before you could read. You knew it by saying it along with mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and all the other folks here at church with you. You've learned that prayer even before you know how to read books. And so you would join in and you pray with us and ask God for all the blessings that he has to give us out of his hand, in which he does. But for now, let's close with praying another short prayer, okay? Dear God, thank you for teaching us how to pray. Help us to pray in our times of temptation that we would be delivered. Help us to remember to pray in times of blessing. Remember to pray thank you. And help us to focus on you first and us second. In Jesus' name, amen. Children, thank you for coming down. If you would, return to your seats, and we'll all continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 773, Hear Us, Father, When We Pray, hymn number 773 in the Lutheran Thrift Book.
sermon text this morning from today's epistle reading. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you are taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have now, as our possession, Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Savior of the world. Now, of course, if the world needs saving, that's a good indication that something has gone well and truly and horribly wrong. And if the world needs saving, it means that we humans, by extension, are incapable of saving ourselves. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, has undertaken the redemption of humanity. And St. Paul, in the first chapter of Colossians, marvelously tells us who Jesus is. He says, in Jesus we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And you, who once were alienated in heart and mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and without reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that is within you, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. You see, in Christ Jesus, we have all that we need for salvation. In Jesus Christ, the fullness of deity dwells. In Christ, God is manifested in the flesh. Christ reconciled us to God through his death on the cross and the redemption that he won for us. He is the head of all authority. And in Jesus, we have everything that we need because he fills up all things. He has given us everything we need for our salvation, and we are connected to the Savior in whom the fullness of Godhead dwells. And we are certainly filled to the limit, and there's no room for human philosophy or human thoughts in there, and the traditions of men. But the thing is, we seem awfully attracted to human philosophies, and awfully attracted to behaviors that are contrary to a Christian way of life. In Paul's day, he was often combating the teaching of Jesus and another thing. Like, well, first become Jewish and then follow Jesus. Or keep all the Jewish purity laws and then trust Jesus also. So folks were always trying to combine Jesus and something else. And, well, we still try and do that in our day. But Paul is often writing to let new Christians know, as we have read, that Jesus is all in all and that Jesus is enough for our salvation. Our problems, though, seem to be more along the lines of Jesus playing second fiddle in our life. Jesus has second place to my wants and my needs. Or something like God giving a wink and a nod to all our sins. You know, just kind of a grandfatherly old man who, you know, sowed his wild oats when he was young and sees young people doing it today and just kind of like chuckles and doesn't worry about it too much. Doesn't take it seriously. I guess we could ask the people of Sodom and Gomorrah whether or not God takes sin seriously. You see, our culture breeds a God, but it's a different God than the God of the Bible. Our culture breeds a God of self. Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit." Our culture is filled with such things, such philosophies and such empty deceits. Poaching off the members of the Christian church with a soft sell that leads us to put Jesus second in our lives. Now, I'm pretty confident this is not a time or a place for fire and brimstone. It's not a time to rant and to rave, but it certainly is a time to think about the things that we all know. And I'm talking about, you know, entire swaths of Christianity here, is that I'm not entirely confident, even as I look in the mirror, and remember, and I want you to know that I'm looking in the mirror here, that Christians aren't taking Christianity seriously. The wrath of God upon unbelief and backsliding and the slow death of faith is kind of just ignored. And I think Christians have, well, when they've looked at God, they have apparently committed the mistake of confusing God's kindness with weakness and God's patience with slumber. Now, I'm sure that one of the best ways to combat satanic deceptions is to be so familiar with your Christian faith that you notice false things when they come around, that you notice false things when they pop up in your life. A good way to recognize the fake things is to know the truth so well that we recognize that which is not truth. But I'm afraid we've been floating along, and that we've not been terribly intentional about passing the faith from one generation to the next generation. Not only do folks not recognize true Christian teaching, they tend to gravitate to false teaching, and they're captivated by worldly philosophies. And you've seen them out there, you hear them. Even if you're not too dialed into the news or current events, you catch it in the wave and of culture. You know pretty much, I think, I don't have to beat the drum terribly much about gender theories and the world having a you-do-you version of human sexuality and life issues. Those two are really quite the mess in the world. You know, even within some Christian denominations. With the prevalence of easy and readily available abortions, with the cry of death with dignity, all flowing out of an evolutionary background that says human beings aren't special. They aren't of any more worth than a rat or a rabbit or a pig or whatever. That you are just one animal amongst the other animals. There's no soul or immaterial part of you, or any other person for that matter, who is of value. And so we kill the weak and the defenseless. And we let the infirm take their own lives, and we call it a virtue, and we call it good. Now I was thinking, is Christianity, being a Christian, what we do? Or is it who we are? I don't know. I think it's supposed to be who we are, not just what we do. I know there's truth. Truth found in the Holy Scriptures. I know there's error, that which is against the Holy Scripture. There is propaganda that props up the error and propagates it also. I'm fully convinced that advertising works. If advertising didn't work, advertisers wouldn't be doing it. So clearly there is a way to influence people and make them think certain things and lead and guide them in one direction or another. And it's probably true, the old saying, we are what we eat. It's important to know what we're consuming with our mouths. But it's also important to know what we're consuming with our eyes and our ears. Ever since the mid-60s, what we call adult content has been more and more prevalent in our lives. First things that can be mailed to you in brown wrappers, and then in stores, and then on the internet, and now with a phone, every junior high boy has access to adult content. And it twists and it warps. And it doesn't go away, and everybody seated here knows that there are some things you see that you just can't unsee. You know, our grandfathers would be shocked at what we call an R-rated movie, with the language and the things, the violence. We have a culture steeped in violence, just oozing violence in just about everywhere and in every place. And our comedy. All of us get a kick, I'm sure, out of blue comedy. We see things that we know. I mean, I even have a class of things that I say I have that I've seen or watched and listened to. I said, like, I know I shouldn't like it, but I do. And let's face it, too many Christians see the reading of God's word and being in prayer, daily prayer, as something that's optional. I mean, we'll take our kids to every activity their fickle hearts desire, all in the name of experience. We bend our families around whatever sport or whatever club or whatever activity is in season. We skip church to do it, often collapsing so exhausted in our homes that we forget our bedtime prayers. We forget family devotions. We have apparently slowed down the teaching of the creeds and the Lord's Prayer to our children and their Bible stories. Most of us are probably mostly scripturally illiterate. We don't know our Bible stories very well. Your clergy included. We know our doctrine, but I don't know if we know our Bibles. I know that there are fathers out there who prefer hunting and fishing and golfing to leading their families to church on a Sunday morning or leading their families in daily prayer. I know for a fact, because it's me, that I have failed my own family in so many respects. I know I let life take over. I know I slipped into the comfortable zone of take them to church, make sure they go to Sunday school, but I know that in my house, family devotions slowly died. And for that, I am truly sorry. Because I know that I failed my family. And for that, I repent and ask God for forgiveness. And repenting and asking God for forgiveness, at least saying the words, is the easy part. I guess the question remains for all of us collectively, what are we going to do about it? Well, for starters, each and every family here should take the initiative to be in God's Word, to crack open the portals of prayer at supper time, read the daily devotion, read the scripture, read the psalm, read the things that go along with that portals of prayer. Each family here should take the initiative to be in God's Word, to pray daily, and to begin to treat God's house and worship with the dignity and respect that it deserves. No father who is a Christian should, by his actions, teach his family that worship is optional. We need to be intentional about letting the Word of God dwell richly among us. And we need to be intentional about passing that Word of God along to our families. So today, we probably need to reset our Christian life and wear our faith not as a lifestyle choice, but rather as a way of life. God in Christ has chosen us. We are redeemed. And as a response to being the redeemed, to being chosen, let us choose to live lives of intentional faith. And let us each choose the things of God rather than the things of men. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds, and the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship of Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark A. Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you have bestowed a high honor and duty upon your church by teaching her to pray and promising her to hear. Bless our pastors in their prayers for your people and hear us all as we offer up our petitions in the name of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord Jesus, we are surrounded on every side by the philosophies and teachings of man, and it is so easy for us to be led astray by them and follow the world rather than you. Guard and protect us from both false doctrine and deceptive worldly philosophies, so that we and our families would stay on the narrow path to life everlasting and come at last to the gates of paradise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Everlasting God, you have called the hearts of fathers to help their children by bringing your Son into our world. Nurture the life of prayer in the homes of your people, that we would know the full blessing of your fatherly care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you have ordered the nations that men would seek after you. Curb the wickedness of this world, embolden the witness of the righteous, and make our nation a repentant and faithful place where your gracious presence is welcomed with thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we bring before you today the sick, the hospitalized, and those who are recuperating from treatments or procedures, asking that you, O God, would return them to health and well-being. And as we pray for the sick, we ask also that you would comfort their loved ones too, as the hearts of children, spouses, and siblings ache for those they love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Righteous Lord, you do not wink at wickedness, and you promise that your patience with evil will not last forever. As you punished Sodom and rescued Lot in the days of old, save your people today and vanquish our enemies. Give us prayerful hearts to leave all vengeance into your hands. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious God, hear our prayers for Don Clockengay, as he will tomorrow celebrate his 94th birthday. Thank you, O Lord, for the years of life that you have given unto Don and for all the blessings of family and friends that you have graced his life with. As Don begins another year, we humbly ask that you would keep him this year through and give him even more years to celebrate life and all the blessings that you have bestowed upon him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing and look to you as the giver of all good gifts. Make us ever eager to come to you in prayer and thanksgiving as your Son has taught us. By your Holy Spirit, bring us to behold in Christ the fulfillment of those things for which we pray. Your holy name, your kingdom coming, daily bread, forgiveness, shelter in temptation, and deliverance from evil. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord in trusting his promises, we are all bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them. Read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 673, Jerusalem, My Happy Home, hymn number 673 in the Lutheran Service Book. Lord bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.